My name is Frank Eccles. I'm the president of the Child and Youth Care Certification Board. In our country, we have 313 million people. Over the course of our development, what's happened in our country, as in many countries in the world, we have evolved child and youth care practice based on the needs of local communities. In our country, what that's led to are many service systems that are available in the community, but not interconnected. We have very many funding silos as well as service silos. Mental health is considered different from foster care, which is considered different from residential care, which is considered different from corrections, from disabilities work. It doesn't really matter which portion of the service system you're looking at. It exists, or it has existed in the past, as a separate entity. Now, what that means is that we have believed for many years that we exist by ourselves in the community. Over the last 15 years, there's been a lot of research done in our country to try to understand what's happening with the child care workforce and what's happening in terms of the youth workers. These are all studies that have been conducted. One of the things that we have realized is that the workforce research is really pointing us to the same problems and the same solutions independent of settings. And I suspect for many people in this room, this is a no-brainer. As I walk around this conference and I listen to people talking from all over the world, what I realize is that this situation exists in many, many, many places. One of the things that you could say is that we're connected by the problems that we face. All of these things are apparent in the work of any workforce within any one of the practice settings. One of the really interesting things is, over time, no practice setting has been able to solve these challenges. Independently, it's not been done. Something else that's very interesting is that as you look at our research, what you realize is that there are solutions that are pointed to in every practice setting, and they're the same solutions, and they include these things. Practitioners want and need a career pathway. The workforce is very diverse. We need multiple routes. Professional development has to begin at an entry or fundamental level, and it needs to extend through fully professional practice. We have people at all levels, and they all need something. Credentialing programs need to offer multiple levels. We need to have reciprocity. We need recognition. We need benefits. We understand that both education and credentialing is important. It isn't one or the other. It's, in fact, both that's needed. This project is a response by the professional community to the problems that you've seen here. For a 10-year period, groups across North America began cooperating to basically look at the profession of child and youth care practice. One of the things that they were looking to do was to build the substructures that you need in a profession so they can actually function as a profession. And that includes identifying a body of knowledge and skills, which, of course, are what you do and what you know. Identifying a code of ethics, which is, of course, what you believe and what you value. Establishing a professional authority that can regulate and establish culture that we believe will lead to recognition in our communities of the valuable contribution that child and youth care makes to communities and to society. This work was sponsored basically by many groups working together. That would include the Association for Child and Youth Care Practice, which is our national child and youth care organization, the Canadian Council of Child and Youth Care Associations, and a very loosely organized group called the International Leadership Coalition for Professional Child and Youth Care. Now, what these people had in common is that they are a coalition of practitioners, employers, educators that have something in common. They looked to the future and they realized that we can do better than this, and that to do better than this, we're going to have to do something together. So what did they think they needed to do? Well, it was these things. Over 10 years, There were about 100 people that worked very diligently, and nobody was paid to do this. This was not government-sponsored. This was not something that somebody got paid to do. Basically, what we were doing was working at our jobs, doing what we do all day long, and then being on the phone all night long or at the computer, like many of you are, basically trying to work out, how are we going to do this? What is it? Included in this was a definition of child and youth care practice, because we had never had a definition that looked at the whole field as one unit. That had not existed. We began to identify competence that would be present for a fully prepared worker. This is something that had never been done in our country. We've always thought about it as, what do you look like at entry level? What might you look at intermediate practice? Nobody had ever looked at the idea of, what is a fully prepared child and youth worker like? What are they supposed to know? What do they believe? How do they function? And creating an assessment process so we could determine the difference between people that had this competence and people who did not have it. Basically, what happened was, over this 10-year period, we set up a certification process, which is basically, what is a certification process? It's basically a demonstration system. It's a way of assessing whether someone has competence or not. It was based on a set of competencies that are available from us that were drawn from 79 different competency sources. At the time that this was done, it was the largest compilation of competency sources in child and youth care ever conducted. And basically what we were doing was, we were looking for the commonalities. Can we say that there is fundamental principles of practice? And I know, looking out at this group of people, since I know many of you, that that's a no-brainer for you as well. But I need to say, for us, that was critical, because we don't know it, and we hadn't known it. Based on this work, we discovered it. We set up a testing and credentialing program. Basically, we had to pilot test this to find out if it actually worked. Because basically what we're saying is, if you're working in education, or you're working in residential care, or you're working in disabilities, or you're working in foster care, could we give you some kind of a standardized test and find out whether you knew what you were doing by applying principles? Now, the way we did this was, we set up a 75-item scenario-based exam that was foundated on examples that were given to us from the field. We spent some time drawing from people examples of practice. And then we took those and we converted those into scenarios that we then paired with questions. What we discovered, of course, is that, yes, you can do it. Also included in the demonstration process is the documentation of experience and relevant training of education. There's a very in-depth supervisor assessment and a co-worker consumer references, and an electronic portfolio. In doing this process, what we were trying to determine is, what is the best way to assess competence? We know that we can't assess competence only on an exam. We also believe, though, that you can't do it simply by observing, that there are other things that are important as well. All of this is very significant because it is a practitioner-led effort. This is not something the government is doing. It's something that the practice field is doing. Okay? We believe that it's very well timed, because in our country, regulation is coming. It is already arriving in many states and many localities, and it has not been promulgated widely by the professional community. We believe that the best people to do this is the professional community, to provide leadership. We also realize that historically, no local credentialing or education effort has achieved the scale needed to significantly influence practice or workforce trajectory. What this project did was basically establish these things. We began to see the field as a whole. In other words, the idea of connecting the neighborhood. Because in our country, what we're looking at is people that have been working, coexisting side by side, but have never noticed that what they're doing is very connected. We use the same principles. We have the same intention. And ultimately, we have the same goal, to promote optimal development for the people that live in our country. We began to look at something different, too. We had an understanding of what a fully prepared practitioner knows and can do. This definition had never existed before for us. We began to articulating the diverse credentialing programs that already exist into a unified structure. We have seen the evolution of many credentialing efforts, but one of the things that's happened is because they're not connected, basically the usefulness of them is somewhat limited to the practitioners who have the credentials. The other thing that we realize is that we're at a point now where we need to begin to connect together training efforts, educational efforts, so that they benefit practitioners and they provide a workforce that can actually do the kind of work that's needed in the multiple settings that we have. We need a well-prepared workforce. We've never had a system to provide it. In 2007, the Child and Youth Care Certification Board came into being. Basically, what we are is the professional community's response to this national workforce crisis. Over the last 5 years, we've certified between 450 and 500 practitioners in the United States and Canada. Something else that we've done is we've connected together all of the credentialing programs that exist in the professional association community. We've established a network of proctored online testing sites. Within this month, we will have them located in 233 ACT testing centers all across North America. We already have them in many universities and organizations, in professional associations. We offer this through training providers, also at conferences. In other words, we're trying to increase access. We've collaborated with major national partners to forward this work and to create a nationally linked professional development system. These are some of our partners. These are not all of our partners. I ran out of room on the slide. Well, what you'll notice is you have university partners. You have training providers that are there. You have organizations that actually offer services to youth. Who have I left off? You have the professional associations themselves. Over the next 5 years, we expect to expand collaboration with our major partners internationally to forward work and to create a linked professional development system. To do this, we are currently exploring establishing reciprocity and recognition across all of the credentialing programs. We have some of them connected together. There's many, many more that need to be connected in. We want to expand access to professional development so that if you get it in one practice setting, it's relevant to the other practice settings. We are looking into the feasibility of beginning to approve training programs so that we can look at the quality of what people are producing and how they might link into this system. And last but not least is following the Canadian model of exploring how you can accredit education programs so that when you come out with a child and youth care degree that you in fact know child and youth care. I love Margaret Mead. She said it so succinctly. Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has. I brought you some handouts, which are over here. There's not a lot. If you want one, please take one. If there's not enough left, this is our website. All of the information, plus much, much more that I'm not talking about, is available there. In addition, interestingly, we have more than half of our board of directors present at the conference, and actually most of them are sitting in the room. That's Dr. Munoz here, Heather Maudlin, James Freeman, myself, and if you find Kelly Shaw, which you probably will, that would be the fifth. Questions?
Thanks so much, Frank. How does this relate to also working with a unionized workforce and campaigning for sort of decent salary scales and having some form of sort of national kind of perspective on that?
In some portions of our country, we have unionized workers. In some portions of the country, I live in Texas, that's in the South. In the South, we don't have unions. In the North, we have unions. We have both situations. Unions particularly focus on work conditions, not so much about professional practice. We believe that we fit in very well with them, you know, and I think that we don't really drive salaries. But one of the things, one of the arguments that you hear a lot is, why should I pay that person more when I can get that guy to go do it the same as you? And it's, you're interchangeable. It doesn't matter who's doing the work. Well, our position is it does matter who's doing the work, and it takes a long time to get someone prepared to do the work. So once they're in there doing that work, you need to keep them in there. And you need to realize that it doesn't take 6 months. Well, in my state, for instance, you want to work with kids, you have to be trained for 8 whole hours. I'm not kidding you. I'm not kidding you. You have to have eight hours of training before you can work with kids. That's the standard. So our standard basically says it's not this, it's this. So this will have a huge impact as it comes into practice, because as people recognize the difference, you have to pay more for it. That's the reality of it. I think by working collectively, the other thing that we can do is promote with the government support for the employers that are providing higher quality programs. I think that's part of what we have to do, you know. Other questions? Thank you. Jennifer.
Just a comment to say, fantastic and well done. I just think this is an enormous achievement that you and the board has accomplished. And it's just remarkable to be hearing you talk about this now when just 10 years ago, this was such a different scenario. So
I met Jennifer when she was in Texas. We were both in Houston. And we were very much struggling with this project. And a lot of people said to us, you can't do this without funding. It's not done that way. Nobody does that. Well, being child and youth care workers, we don't know any better. We really don't. We really don't. Our ignorance is our strength in some ways. And we said, well, since nobody else is going to do this, I think we better do it, so let's do it. And then we collected together the people. It took 10 years. Why did it take so long? Because it takes that long when you're doing it after work. You know, I mean, we literally didn't have support to do it. But what we realized is that nobody was interested in thinking across setting. Our funding streams are very specific. And you go to those people and you say, I'd like to get help with this. And they say, no, we only do mental health. You're going to be talking about foster care. I'm sorry, we don't do that. No, this is corrections. We don't do foster care, and we don't do mental health. So you can't get our money. So thank you, Jennifer.
I just really want to encourage you to write this up in some kind of friendly form, so that, you know, we can like push it through CYCNet and, you know, make sure more than the people in this room know about it. Because
thank you for that invitation.
For a lot
yes,
of time
we will.
Have talked about the need to do it, and you guys are actually doing it. So
you'll actually find a lot of our work published in journals. We publish in the National Staff Development Training Association Journal and the Journal of Child and Youth Care Work. If you're looking for the information that would support the studies and show the relationship of the credentialing to practice and competence, it's there. You know, go to our website and look. You can find links to all sorts of stuff. Thank you very much.